Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States, Garen Hartglass!
Hi everybody, I'm Garen Hartglass, and you just heard real co-founder and my life partner being very silly, Gary DeMattei.
Hi, Garen.
Hi, Gary.
Happy Super Tuesday.
It's Super Tuesday.
Or as we like to say here at Responsible Eating and Living, happy Super Vegan Taco Tuesday.
Super Vegan Taco Tuesday.
Yay.
I think that's a better subject than
politics.
Super Tuesday and politics, right?
Well, as you always say, it's all about food.
It is
so
all about food.
So our choices need to be informed with respect to how are our choices going to affect food in this country.
Exactly. Well, the current candidates we have to deal with, and they're fortunately getting smaller,
right,
this election as people drop out. I can't say that their interests are focused, where our interests are focused, but I want to think that some are better than others.
Right.
In terms of the climate and in terms of the economy, mm-hmm,
and where they stand.
And where they stand.
But what do you eat on Super Tuesday? Okay, first of all, what is Super Tuesday? For those of you who've just joined us and aren't sure what the heck Super Tuesday is all about.
So Super Tuesday, not Super Vegan Taco Tuesday.
Right,
because
but the actual Super Tuesday.
The official Super Tuesday, which is today, March 3rd, 2020. Mm-hmm. This is when more states are voting for the primaries. We have Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, and Democrats abroad.
Yes. And American Samoa.
And American Samoa. And in reading about Super Tuesday, I just want to mention,
wait, did we get Maine in there? I don't think we did.
I did say Maine.
You did say Maine? Excellent.
But something that I don't understand at all is that the folks in American Samoa do not vote in the presidential election that comes up in November, but they do vote in the primary?
What's that all about?
What is that all about?
I think they need to vote in the election,
I mean,
too.
The whole thing that we have where we have some territories and they don't get the same voting rights as states.
This needs to change.
And if I, when I'm elected president.
Yes.
No, I'm not running.
Not yet, anyway.
Oh, please.
Super Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, so we thought we would
We're going to talk about tacos and we're going to talk about soup because it's super.
Soup. Soup.
And it's still soup weather, so we have a lot of soup recipes and a lot of...
In my kitchen, it's soup weather.
Yes.
All around the year.
Anyway, I cut you off. Go ahead. I often do that to you because I have a thought, and so I just go right in there.
It's fine.
We're still feeling our way around this two-person, it's all about food show.
That's right, and it's all about...
But I think it's working out.
We're cutting each other off all the time.
Yeah, we're getting
it
a lot more...
keeps it moving.
We're getting a lot more listeners now, at least two or three, or the nine listeners, the nine people who are still supporting...
Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard, as Andy Borowitz said.
Yeah.
Her nine supporters urge her to drop out of the race. I thought that was a pretty funny piece.
Yeah. I believe Tulsi Gabbard is vegan.
Well, there you go, then. Stick around.
Yeah, but I personally don't support some of the things that she stands for.
Right.
But I don't want to get into that. We're not talking about politics here. We're talking about food. Super Tuesday food. And that means since Taco Tuesday is on Tuesday.
Right.
and who is in Grant's tomb? Anyway, Taco Tuesday... we're calling it Super Taco Tuesday.
Super Vegan Taco Tuesday.
Thank you. Super Vegan Taco Tuesday. I can't even say it. Super Vegan Taco Tuesday. We want to talk about things that are inspirational, things that are delicious, kind of shifting the focus because our focus is continually manipulated by mainstream media as to what we're supposed to be thinking and talking about.
Yes, there's like five subjects that they direct us to each and every day if we are the types of folks that get our news from social media. How did that happen?
And it's important to know about these things, but there's so much else going on.
Yeah, so many wonderful things happening in the world. I mean, yes, there's the coronavirus that everyone's talking about now. And there's Super Tuesday, and there's the election, and there's a lot of different things happening that you're not being told about. Or maybe you're not being told about it in the super media that is able to spend lots of money and direct your focus. So we're here as a sort of reprieve to all of that to give you some other things to think about.
And we want you to think about vegan tacos.
So while we're on the subject of vegan tacos, excellent segue, they're starting to roll out some vegan taco meat at guess where, Karen?
Vegan taco meat? Where, Gary?
What's one of the biggest fast food companies to sell?
I don't know, Taco Bell?
Taco Bell is rolling out some vegan taco meat.
Wow, is it Beyond or Impossible?
Yeah,
or
so what we're going to do now thing? Is, yeah, so.
Well, let me first say that Taco Bell was one of the first, maybe it was the first, that had a vegan option on their menu, and I don't even know if they knew it at the time, but you could get a bean burrito back in the day. I haven't been to Taco Bell in decades, but I used to get a bean burrito, no cheese, and it was vegan.
Well, listen, I remember that as well, where you could just get a plain old bean burrito.
No, it did have hydrogenated oil in it, but you know, okay, let's put that aside. It was vegan.
Right.
And now, it was fast.
We clearly aren't here to promote any one company in particular, but we do want to give a shout out to companies who are making an effort to transition to more plant meats for their, what would have been their heavily meat-centered menus. So Taco Bell announced it will add plant-based meat to its menu in the next year. Last fall, the Mexican-inspired fast food chain debuted a dedicated vegetarian menu. It featured two new menu items, a vegetarian Crunchwrap Supreme and a vegetarian Quesarito. So at the start of 2020, the chain vowed to continue providing the most vegetarian choices and to make it even easier for customers to order them. Now the company is embracing veganism as consumer demand for plant-based products grows, especially in the fast food sector. We definitely see that plant-based protein has a place on the menu, Taco Bell's CEO Mark King told Bloomberg Green. The fast food chain is still deciding which plant-based option to add to the menu. King says the company met with Beyond Meat, Inc. and Impossible Foods, Inc. in recent months. So to answer your question, Karen, they haven't decided yet.
Okay.
But they're talking about it.
That's good. The interesting thing about Mexican food, I think, is how it naturally lends itself to vegan
adaptations.
Vegan adaptations.
You're absolutely right.
Because beans, tortillas, salsa, corn, rice, all of that is very flavorful. Guacamole.
And good. I'm getting hungry.
And good. And you don't have to have the animal in it. So I've always enjoyed when we've found Mexican restaurants with vegan options. That's like one of my favorite places to go. And if you've read the last 5 years of my blog, What Vegans Eat, you'll see how often we've had
vegan tacos, vegan Mexican.
Vegan tacos, Mexican.
I mean, our favorite meal here at home is beans with some sort of a nice grain and some avocado and maybe some fabulous corn tortillas. And the kind of corn tortillas we like are the sprouted corn tortillas that are getting more and more difficult to find, but also organic.
Yeah, we like corn tortillas that are made with organic corn because so much of the corn in the United States of America today is genetically modified.
Right.
And has very few ingredients in it. Now, if you go into your standard supermarket here in the United States and many other places in the world, and you turn over the package of corn tortillas that is on the shelf and not refrigerated, you'll see it has like 400,000 ingredients
right.
that you don't need in your tortillas.
No.
And that makes it complicated because the ones that are made the way they should be made, just like corn and water and maybe a little lime, and that's not the citrus lime, that's the calcium-based mineral lime, those have to be refrigerated.
Yeah, we've talked about this on your show before, or at least I've heard you talk about this on your show before, about what you just mentioned with respect to lime. There's the citrus lime, and then there's the lime ingredient that's in tortillas, which is not the citrus lime.
No.
It's called the, what was that you just said it was, the calcium?
Calcium-based.
Right. So anyway, there's a difference between the two limes.
Yeah. Anyway, I am looking at a cookbook that came out about 6 years ago, I think, by Chef Jason Weirich. I interviewed him on this program, and it's called Vegan Tacos. And we just thought, since we're talking about vegan tacos, this is the ultimate cookbook vegan tacos.
It's wonderful. It has so... Check out the interview that Karen did. It's in the archives. Again, it's Jason Weirich. Vegan Tacos, Authentic and Inspired Recipes for Mexico's Favorite Street Food. And it was written...
It was 2014.
Yeah.
But it's got so many great ideas. And he makes everything from scratch, which we support.
Right. And he also shows you how to do that in this book. How to make your own chili sauces.
Yes, in great detail.
How to make your anchovy.
This is one of these real cookbooks where you get a lot of instruction and a lot of detail.
Vegan Chorizo, he walks you through everything and from start to finish. And it's an incredible book. And
it can give you a lot of ideas. So you don't have to do all of these things from scratch, but it can give you lots of ideas. So the thing is, the taco is the Mexican sandwich. It's a street food. It's the way you can stuff something and hold it.
Right.
So you can take a taco and put some stuff in it and hold it and eat it.
Right. You can eat it on the run. You could eat it while at work. You can eat it...
And the taco can be corn-based or it can be a tortilla that's mm-hmm. flour-based.
Or a gluten-free tortilla. They
sure,
make lots
we've made them.
Yeah. We have recipes for gluten-free tortillas at our website.
You know, I know I've said this before, but when I lived in France in the early 90s, and I'm sure it's changed now, but when I was living there, it was really hard to get some of the American foods that I was used to. They had a corn tortilla in the supermarkets. It was the hard kind, and it was made with dreadful ingredients.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because some of these tacos we're talking about might be, you might think they're the hard shell tacos, but we're talking about soft.
The soft ones.
Soft tacos.
The thing is,
right.
I made my own. So I made my own corn tortillas, I made my own flour tortillas, and it wasn't hard.
No.
And I wanted them. So when I want something, I go and make it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and also, you know, you can eat a taco if you're campaigning for president on Super Tuesday. It's easy and it's healthy, or at least the vegan tacos that we're talking about are healthy. And who doesn't love something that's so gooey good, as you would say, but also incredibly good for you?
So the classic thing to put in a taco. So obviously people put meat in tacos and vegans put beans in tacos.
And people put cheese in tacos.
Lettuce, salsas, guacamole.
Avocado.
And now we're getting a little more sophisticated, a little more creative. And there you have the Vegan Taco Book by Jason Weirich that gives you all kinds
creative.
Of ideas. And there are restaurants that we've been going to that offer some interesting fillings for tacos. We were just at...
Yes, let's talk about that. Those were very small tacos.
They were very small
very
tacos.
Very tiny.
Tiny tacos. Tiny. We're not really talking about tiny tacos, but we went to a restaurant in Manhattan called Thyme and Tonic.
And Thyme is spelled T-H-Y-M-E.
Yes.
Right.
As opposed to T-I-M-E.
T-I-M-E.
Where there is no time, but there is plenty of time.
Interesting menu, right?
Yeah. It's related to a different restaurant that was originally called Spring Natural, which had been around for a long time in the, was it in the Soho area, I think? Spring mm-hmm. Street.
It certainly was.
And I loved this restaurant. It was very macrobiotic based, and they had vegan options. They had fish and other things, but they always had this big pot of kukicha tea. And if you ordered the kukicha tea, you could have unlimited amounts.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite thing
about the
place.
I remember that was this big urn.
Yes.
But then they moved.
But they moved around the corner. They don't have the kukicha tea anymore. Their menu has been updated.
Right.
And it's okay. And now they have this other one on the Upper West Side called Time and Tonic.
Yes. And there, it was interesting because the menu is all vegan except for the notated items that aren't, which is the reverse of what Spring Street Natural was all about.
Or any other restaurant.
Right.
They're flipping it, which I love.
Right. A lot of flipping going on.
A lot of flipping. So here it is
this
that
is nice.
The foundation is vegan.
Right.
And then they notate NV, non-vegan, for a few fish items that they have on the menu.
Right.
And well, then everything was gluten-free.
I had this incredible, speaking of everything was gluten-free, incredible sandwich, a barbecued sandwich that was called a barbecued chicken. And, of course, they spelled chicken wrong because it wasn't chicken at all.
T-H-I-K-N, I think.
Right. It was delicious, and it was a tofu-based chicken, which I love, the fact that it wasn't a fake meat. It was actually just tofu.
Mm.
And this was, you know, to my liking, because I'm not, I don't really go in for the fake meats, although I think they have a place for a lot of people who are transitioning. I wanted more of just a simple protein, and tofu certainly does that. Anyway, it was delicious, and it was gigantic. It was huge. It was a big sandwich, and it came with fries, and you have an option. But it was really good. But the other dishes that I was seeing coming out were very, like, little taster menu sizes. Like, the tacos were the size of a little bigger than a silver dollar pancake. I mean, they weren't that big.
Well, what they explained to us
right.
at this restaurant was one side of the menu was all like appetizers or shared plates.
Right.
And the other side, you could get your own main dishes. So the tacos, which were two per order, were a shared thing. Mm-hmm. But they were tiny. But I just want to mention what they put in their tacos, just to give you some ideas. One was Brussels sprout and spicy peanut salsa.
Right.
Another one was the pulled mushroom pilbill.
Right.
No one ever was able to tell us what pilbill was.
So if you know what pilbill is out there, please let us know, because we're still trying to figure out what pilbill is. I guess we could Google it, but we'd rather hear from you.
Yeah. And then there's the sweet potato and black bean taco, and that's easy.
That's easy.
I love sweet potatoes and black beans. That's like a perfect combination.
But what a great idea to put that in a taco.
And then they have the Impossible Tacos, which obviously have Impossible ground
whatever
vegan
it is.
Meat. Whatever it is. And they have bowls and pasta and burgers and all kinds of other things on the menu. But another thing I wanted to point out, which is not tacos, but we got there early before the rest of our party got there. And we thought we might have
a cocktail before.
It was freezing outside, and as we were heading towards the restaurant, we were both thinking, oh, we should just have a shot of whiskey to warm us up, right?
Where is the brandy when you need it?
And we got to the bar waiting and looked at the menu, and then we both opted for one of their signature elixirs, spinach, apple, jalapeno, and lime.
We kind of are huge drinkers, aren't we?
Yeah, but it was good.
It was great.
And that jalapeno gave you the heat.
The jalapeno was all the heat you needed. It was really, really awesome to put a little bit of jalapeno juice in your elixir.
Yeah, it was good.
As opposed to alcohol. But, you know, you may want to have beer with your vegan tacos. And make sure that your beer is vegan. Here's a little plug for something that's going on also in the news. there's a company, a beer company called Parallel 49, and they are doing, all of their beer is done, is vegan. And what makes a beer vegan? Fish bladder. Do they filter it with isinglass or do they not?
Or egg whites.
Or egg whites. So isinglass is a fish bladder that they use as a filtering system for a lot of beers. And lots of beers do that, but lots of beers don't. So make sure that your beer is vegan. And the way you find out is by going to Barnivore.com. Again, we have no relationship with Barnivore. We just know it's a great resource to find out if the booze you're drinking is vegan or not. And yes, most booze can be vegan. Most wine can be vegan. Most beer can be vegan, but some beers and wines and other alcohols are not.
Okay, I'm not going to mention the wine, but do you remember the way Barnivore works for the most part is that individuals, people like you and me, write to a particular distributor, a particular maker of a wine or a beer or an alcoholic beverage and ask if it contains certain animal ingredients, if it's vegan or not. And they wait for the response and then they share that written response with Barnivore and they publish it.
Right.
So I was interested in a particular wine, small company, California Wine, and I wrote to them about the ingredients in their wine and if it was vegan. And I didn't write to them. I got a phone. I called them.
Right.
And I got a very defensive, snippy response back saying that no, their wines were filtered with egg whites. And then she said to me, do you know that bentonite clay, which is the vegan version that's used for filtration, she said, do you know that bentonite clay is cat litter, and we don't put that in our wines. And
it's
I was like, click, thank you very much. So bentonite clay is not cat litter. It may be used in kitty litter, but it is not. Bentonite clay has many, many purposes, and one of it is filtering wines, and I think it's a fine choice.
Yes, of course. And, of course, our favorite wine is Guerciabella from Tuscany.
Batar.
Of course, and that's biodynamic, vegan dynamic.
And dynamic.
Dynamic, yes. But so this Parallel 49 beer company, this was in the news, and it's on all of the hot vegan news sites that, you know, get you in with lots of clicks. But, This vegan beer supports farm animals thanks to Ricky Gervais, the Happily Ester After Farm Sanctuary, home to celebrity animal Ester the Wonder Pig, will receive funds from Parallel 49 Beer Company thanks to Ricky Gervais. And so I thought that was a really nice story. So on Vegan Super Taco Tuesday, if you're having a vegan super taco, try...
You can have some vegan super beer.
Super beer. And so... It's a Vancouver-based company, Parallel 49, launched a fundraiser to support Ester the Wonder Pig thanks to comedian actor Ricky Gervais. The company says it will donate a portion of the proceeds of its Ruby Tears beer to the famous pig, according to Barnivore. Again, we mentioned Barnivore, a resource for vegan alcohol. Parallel 49 beer is free from animal products, except for a few varieties. Ruby Tears is vegan. So last month, a fan tweeted that Gervais to ask him to help what his favorite beer is, and Gervais responded by professing his love for Parallel 49's Gypsy Tears Ruby Ale, now called Ruby Tears. Anyway.
That's nice.
It's a nice story, and we're trying to get nice stories out today because of what we originally said when we opened this program, the super media... on Super Vegan Taco Tuesday is going to keep you focused on the stories they feel are worthy of your clicks.
And most of those stories give us anxiety.
Right.
They're about things that we don't have a lot of control over, if we have any control at all. Of course, we have some control because we can vote and we all need to vote. And I can't underline that enough. And if you're voting today in Super Tuesday, thank you. And if your primaries are coming later, either make sure you're registered for a party, and if you're not, then you vote in the general election. That's still cool. But find out when your primaries are. I know here in New York, it's April 28th. I'm going to be out of town, so I'm going to fill out my form for an absentee ballot.
Right.
And there's lots of ways to vote these days. Vote, right. Vote, vote, vote. But back to focusing on positive things. So we're talking about super vegan tacos and this Mexican food theme. And I want to stay on this Mexican theme a little bit and highlight another great company that's come out. You
yes.
told me about them, Gary.
Yes.
Deserto,
sí.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's deserto.com.mx. A couple of Mexican entrepreneurs are making this fabulous vegan leather
out of cactus.
Out of cactus.
It's so exciting.
So we've talked about making leather out of so many things. Pineapple and yeah. other plants are being investigated. And they've got this great video up on their website that you can
You
got to
check this out, everybody. It's awesome. These guys, a duo behind Vegan Cactus Leather, nominated for an environmental award. The pair behind the vegan company Deserto have a chance to win Germany's Green Product Award in 2020.
You know how wonderful that is? When... Back in the day, when I first became vegan a million years ago, or at least 32 years ago, one of the things people would say when I would say I didn't wear leather, their comeback was, well, you know, are you wearing all these fabrics that are made from petrochemicals, these polyesters, and the vegan leathers at the time, they've been around for a while, but they're made from petrochemicals. And they were almost as toxic
right.
as the tanning process in the animal leather material.
Right.
And now the entrepreneurs like this one are coming up
Adrian
with a product
Lopez Velarde,
sustainable.
Adrian Lopez Velarde and Marte Cazares, excuse me for butchering your names if I've done that, vegan butchering your names if I've done that, a.k.a. the duo behind the sustainable vegan leather made from cactus plants have been nominated for an environmental award. And this video on their website is terrific. So check it out. And hats off to these guys who are really doing some great things. They've created this brand called Deserto. And the process is sustainable. And it can be all done with minimal water because cactus doesn't use a whole lot of water.
Hello.
Right? I mean, it's just
right.
genius.
Genius.
And
they also talk in the video about how they don't destroy the plant. They harvest the mature leaves
right.
and leave the plant intact to continue growing.
Right. It's a suitable material. The idea of using this raw material was conceived because this plant does not need any water to grow, or very little, and there is plenty of it throughout the Mexican Republic. And they're making some great products out of this vegan leather. Well, they're making products that were once made with leather, like shoes and
mm-hmm.
jackets and, you know, leather pants or
can
whatever you're into.
Can they build a wall with this material?
No, they're not doing anything like that. We're breaking down walls here.
Breaking down walls.
At Responsible
Beautiful.
Eating and Living. We're not building walls. We're not even going to talk about walls. The only walls we're going to talk about are the walls that we know who live down the street.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Wall.
Mr. and Mrs. Wall. Great people. Love them. Love them. They have a couple of kids, and they're awesome. Dr. Wall. Let's talk about Dr. Wall. He set my arm when I was a kid.
Are you serious? Dr.
Yeah,
Wall?
Dr. Wall. Dr. John Wall set my arm when I was a kid. And Karen's phone just decided it wanted to join the show.
Just like that.
Just
you know,
like,
Siri likes to give her 2 cents every now and then.
Right. Her 2 bleeps. Oh, speaking of that, while we were on the way to Time and Tonic, we checked the house for make sure all of our stoves are off and all of the electrical appliances are unplugged.
We are in a routine now because a while ago we came home and the gas was on.
Yeah.
And we hadn't left it on intentionally. We have no idea how it was on. We have a gas stove. So now we're committed. Whenever we leave the apartment, we always check and tell each other, the gas is off. I've checked.
Right.
Right?
Right. So, but as soon as we left, I said to myself, okay, everything's off. So if the ghost is here, then we'll know it. Show us, give us a sign. So as we left, our carbon monoxide alarm was beeping. One of our neighbors, speaking of great neighbors, like the walls down the street, but these weren't the walls, called us and told us that our house was beeping.
Yes.
And now we've learned from one of the guests at Time and Tonic that we have to do something called
saging. We have to purge some fresh sage.
Saging our house. So anybody know about saging out there?
Yes, to rid the house of spirits.
Yeah. All was fine, actually. They just came into our house because we give our neighbors keys to our house. And they came in and reset the alarm. But that was very strange.
Very strange.
And sage is vegan, so I'm okay with having sage in the house.
Yeah, we'll have to get some and burn some.
Apparently, it can't be the dry sage we have. It has to be.
Yes.
It has to be fresh sage.
It's all about food, folks. And it's not always about the food you consume. It could be about the food you use to rid your home of ghosts and spirits.
And spirits, right. But that's
yeah, has anybody done that?
Yeah.
Let us know.
How do people let us know things? They write to us, right?
Info@realmeals.org. Info@realmeals.org.
Yeah, let us know about saging the apartment here. So there's a lot of really cool things that are going on with this vegan leather. Another celebrity in the news, Serena Williams, tennis champion Serena Williams, who we saw play tennis at the U.S. Open, who's unbelievable, uses vegan leather in the new fashion line, as a lot of things are being killed. She doesn't want to use things anymore in her vegan fashion line that are being killed. And I like that.
I like that a lot.
I like that. So hats off to tennis icon Serena Williams, who has revealed why she used vegan leather in her new collection for her fashion line. The former number one, who has won a massive 23 Grand Slam titles so far in her career, opened up about the inspiration behind her creative choices for the Serena Spring 2020 collection. And that is also in the news that you're not going to be directed to by the all-powerful media conglomerates that are out there pointing you.
I'm very excited about these new products that are coming out. And when we start to think about what we want and what we don't want, entrepreneurs are there to figure things out for us. So one of the things, when I was in college and I was in the chemical engineering program, we would do something called a return on investment. And this is not limited to engineering. A lot of people learn about return on investment in economics and business schools, whatever. But the idea is that if you're going to make a product, or if you're considering a business, you want to make sure, that whatever investment you put in the business, the money that you put in to pay your employees, to do the research, to pay the rent, whatever it is, that your service or your product is going to be priced so that you can make a profit, because we live in a capitalistic society and that's how everything runs. So that's return on investment. Okay, brief little economic little lesson there. But what was never included back in the day, and it probably still isn't included, is the cost to clean up the mess you've made.
Right.
Many products have been made and they're a disaster for the environment.
Leather, for example.
Disaster.
Tremendous disaster, not only for the animals, but in making and the tanning and the dyeing of the leather. It is so horrible on the environment.
And of course, all the plastics that have been put out in the environment, they take a gazillion years to disintegrate. And the companies that make these products should be responsible for cleaning them up, but they're not.
They're not.
And it's on us. It's on all of us. Okay. So now there are entrepreneurs that are aware of this. It was just something that wasn't thought of in the original Industrial Revolution for the first few 50, 60 decades plus. Now we're thinking about it, and that's a good thing. So there are lots of products that are coming out. And when I read about them, I like hit my head and go, boom, why didn't we think about that before?
Right.
So some of the things I'm thinking about, and I have to be honest, I haven't tried them. And I want to put it out there and find out who has tried some of these products. So when it comes to laundry detergent, we've been using products that are vegan that have a reasonable rating with environmental organizations, because laundry detergent can be devastating to the environment and to the water table. Okay.
Yes.
Now there are laundry detergents that come in simple little sheets, like little pieces of paper.
Wow, just like the dryer things?
Yeah, like the dryer things, only you put it in the washing machine, you spritz water on it, and it dissolves, and right away it becomes your detergent, this surfactant that can help clean your clothes.
Wow.
And what's fabulous about it is they don't come in big, bulky plastic containers.
Right.
Even if they're, I'm air quoting here, recyclable plastic.
Right.
They're not heavy to ship. They're light.
Right.
And they work. And the reviews are fabulous. So why aren't we all using these sheets? That's the question. And I've found that there are
Because you're not going to hear about them because the big, powerful...
I guess.
...money behind advertising for these other detergents are going to... And that's why they're... That's why you're listening to this program. It's all about food, because we're here to tell you that.
And there are many brands now. I've seen at least 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Some of them are vegan or say they're vegan. And some of them say that they're free of the things that we don't want in our detergents, like palm oil. There is one caveat.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be more expensive.
Right.
And any new product, it's supply and demand, another economics lesson.
Right.
So the more people that are buying a product, your fixed costs go down and you can offer the product for a lower price. So in order to help these companies, we need to be supporting them and buying them. And I did some quick calculations. So we've bought a Mrs. Meyer's detergent, 64 loads. You can get it for $16. It comes to 25 cents a load. Just a ballpark figure for a detergent. I'm sure there are other detergents that are cheaper than that. But some of these sheets you can get for 28 cents a sheet or 40 cents a sheet. So it depends on the product. But I still think it's something to look into. So if anybody's used any of these sheets and has something to say about them.
Right.
Let us know.
Because this is the responsible eating and living portion of our organization. This is about living. But also, I mean, we all need to talk about laundry, because that's something that we all are doing and yet not paying that much attention to, maybe. And this is a very important part of the living.
I think so.
Responsibly. And so that's great information, Karen.
Now, on the same theme, what's plastic in your life? If you think about the things that you use.
Right, because here in New York, we're now going to start apparently getting...
The single-use plastic bags in supermarkets and other stores.
Right.
Yeah.
That happened on March 1st, right?
Yeah, March 1st, just a couple of days ago.
I have something to say. I still got a plastic bag from my grocery store on March 1st.
I think it was February 29th.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh. I'm curious to see what they do, but...
Okay.
Yeah, that was... We thought it was March 1st, but it was a leap year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Leap year. That's right. Okay, so I'll have to go back and see.
And see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so some other things to consider, and let us know if you've used them, are these bars, soap bars for shampoo.
Right.
And bars for conditioner.
Wow.
And they don't come in big, bulky plastic containers.
So it's just a bar?
It's just a bar. And I'm like hitting my head, like a bar of soap.
Right. Well, that's very interesting.
And I, at the very minimum.
Kind of like soap on a rope.
For traveling. And we're all restricted to our 4 ounce or less liquid bottles and carry-ons for some ridiculous security reason. We don't need to worry about liquid shampoos and liquid detergents if they're all in bars and sheets.
That's right.
And they weigh less.
They'll find a way to regulate that as well. Trust me. Well, I mean, we're starting to use dental floss, of all things, in a paper box as opposed to a plastic box. There's a company that we now...
Ecodent
now sells us dental floss that you sought that out and found it.
And what's scary is sometimes it's out of stock.
Yeah, because a lot of people are using it.
And there isn't a lot of it. But what I like about it is not only does it come in a paper box, but it's vegan. And there have been some others that I unknowingly purchased that either had beeswax or something on it that I really didn't want to put between my teeth.
No. So is your dental floss vegan?
Ecodent, I think that's the only one.
That's the only one that we could find. And it's in a environmentally friendly container. It's in a...
Now, I'll confess that little cardboard box...
You can't get it wet.
It doesn't... You have to be really careful with it because it's going to collapse and get all beaten up before you're done with the 100 yards of floss. But okay, it's part of the mindfulness and the care that we need to put into taking care of Mother Earth and rather taking advantage of her.
Right, it's mindfulness.
It's mindfulness.
Really, you have to repeat that, mindfulness.
It's not about convenience, folks. It's not about efficiency. It's about being mindful.
Right.
And taking care of this home that we have.
Right. And the home that you live in, your body, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This container, this.
Yeah. So if anybody's used any of these products, we want to hear about it and want to know what the best ones are.
Exactly. And also, let us know what you would like us to talk about. If you would like us to do some research, because that's what we're all about here at Responsible Eating and Living, give us a shout out if you have a problem that you want us to research for you. We will do that to find out whether or not it's sustainable or backed by people who care about the planet and care about your health. Because there's so many people out there who don't. And we want you to know that we do. And as I've mentioned before, one of Karen's many jobs at Responsible Eating and Living is vetting programs for other organizations who claim to be responsible eating and livers.
Oh, Gary, yes, I know.
And so, Karen, you've basically seen and heard all of the stuff going on out there that claims to be pro an individual's health or pro the environment or pro sustainability, and you find out by your digging and your detective work.
Sometimes I don't even have to dig, Gary. There's so much fluff that's packaged together and people promote as like the best of this or all the information you need to know about that. And it's not true.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
So, Karen, would you agree then that people lie?
Well, I don't want to come out and say that people lie, but I will say
people
that...
People selling you products, do they lie, Karen?
I think that they just haven't done their homework.
Well, that's really kind of you, because I would say that they lie.
No, I think they haven't done their homework, or they haven't connected the dots. For example, they might read about different articles or research studies about different kinds of food that have benefits on health. And then they'll put together an ebook or something and say, get these foods because they help you. And yeah, there might be some positive benefit, but in the big picture, are those foods really as powerful as some other foods? No.
Right.
And so there's some confusion and it's misleading. And if they don't tell you what not to eat, in addition to what they're recommending, it can be a wash and you might not get any benefit at all.
So they're trying to sell a product. They're trying to sell an idea mm-hmm. that they're going to make some money off of, and they haven't done their homework. And what I'm trying to say is you have done it for them. That's one
Thank
of your
you,
many jobs.
Yeah. And another thing, can I just say this? It drives me crazy. Grammar, spelling. Why it does it not matter anymore?
Right. With some of these ebooks and some of these programs
yeah,
that you're vetting.
I see so many spelling mistakes, grammatical mistakes, and whatever happened to when you write an essay or you write a book or a pamphlet. You have an introduction, you have a body, you have a conclusion, and you have like a thread that goes throughout.
I just want to ask you one question. Have you received a text message lately?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I think that could be the root of all evil as
oh,
far
please.
As...
Oh, please. You can't just plop different things and slop together it and say, here, I've got an ebook for you.
You can't do it
you
the
can,
way
you because can, people do it.
And people are doing it. And so you also have to filter through all of that or sift through all of the grammatical errors to find out what is it that they're actually talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it gets them off the hook because they'll say, well, I mean, I didn't mean that. Look, I spelled all of this wrong. I meant something completely different. Who knows?
Who knows? Can I give an update?
Yes.
On...
Give an update.
On some of the foods that I was talking about last week that we were making at home.
Yeah, last week was a great program. We talked about Lent.
Yeah, we want your updates on Lent. What have you decided to give up?
Have you gone vegan for Lent? Let us know.
We want to know that.
We want to know.
Yeah, so last week I talked about how I was making almond yogurt. I was finishing up a batch of sauerkraut made from red cabbage, and I was sprouting sunflower seeds.
How'd that go?
Yeah. So the yogurt, I'm very happy with it, but I think I might have let it yogurtize a little too long because it's pretty tart.
It is very tart. It's more like sour cream.
I let it go about 12 hours, and normally I do it for 8.
Right.
So it
I kind of like that tang, though.
Okay.
It's very good.
It's tart. But it's good.
Right.
And the sauerkraut, I'm pleased with, my red cabbage sauerkraut.
So you got sour yogurt and sauerkraut.
Well, those kind of things are good for
you. Right.
And then the other thing is the sprouts, and I need to take a moment to talk about them. I had mentioned last week that the sprout man, Steve Meyerowitz, unfortunately, who's no longer with us, when I had interviewed him a few times, he recommended the Tri-Best Sprouter, Fresh Life Tri-Best Sprouter, which I purchased in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
That's 9 years ago. I haven't used it a lot. I will confess. I would use it, and sometimes I would have a problem with it. And then,
sometimes it
wouldn't spin.
Sometimes the water wouldn't come out.
Yeah, I think little seeds could get stuck in it here and there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would pull it out and put it away and then pull it out and use it. And recently I pulled it out again because I had bought some sunflower seeds and I wanted sunflower sprouts. And it was working. And then on about day 7 or so, it started making more noise. And I think the motor shot. And I opened it up. It's a very simple little contraption. And I could see that the motor was kind of melting.
Oh,
not
wow.
a good thing.
Not a good sign.
At least the plastic or something on it. Anyway, I've written the company. They wrote me back. They said, what model is it? We want to help you. And I haven't gotten any more feedback from them yet. But I'm hoping at the very least they tell me what the motor is. Maybe they can send me one or sell me one and I can replace it. It's just a bunch of screws, so I don't think it's really complicated.
So they wrote you back.
They wrote me back.
That actually wrote you back.
Right away.
And where is this company located?
I don't know. Tri-Best, Fresh Life. I don't know where they are.
Well, that's awesome. Shout out to Tri-Best for writing back. Isn't that funny that you have to acknowledge someone for actually writing you back?
I also want to give a plug to Vitamix.
Yeah, Vitamix.
Did I mention this last week?
You may have, but it's worth mentioning
again. It's worth
again.
Repeating. So we finally bought the Vitamix container for grinding flours and making nut butters. It's shaped a little differently than the regular Vitamix container that's designed for liquids. So that it's designed so that all the flour and nut butter doesn't collect in the bottom.
Right.
It goes up. Okay, so we finally...
we did get that.
Purchased it, but it didn't come with what's called the tamper. And that's the plunger that you stick in it while it's moving around, and you can move...
And it's a certain length so that it doesn't touch the blade.
Exactly.
It only touches the product.
And the tamper that we had for our original container was too big.
Right.
And the one we ordered, it didn't come with one.
It didn't. I know. That was big drama here at home.
Big drama. I called them, and they sent us a tamper.
They did.
No fee.
No fee.
So no thank fee. You, Vitamix, for that. And we look forward to making some wonderful flours.
Yeah. So now what you do is you actually grind the grain into flour with
yes.
this attachment.
Well, I've done it in the other one, but it's supposed to be better or more appropriate
we
in
shall
this one.
See.
We shall see.
We shall see. We also like to grind oatmeal and make our own oatmeal flour, and that's not necessarily a hard grain like a...
I haven't used any hard grains. I've only used millet,
right.
buckwheat, and oats.
So those are soft grains.
Right, so maybe I could do rice flour, for example.
Now we're looking forward to rice flour. That would be awesome. Bean flour. Maybe make our own garbanzo bean
oh,
flour.
Oh, there you go.
Buy organic garbanzo beans, which our garbanzo bean flour is hard to find, the organic kind. We only have one brand
oh
now that
God,
we use.
Oh, my God, Gary, now you're onto something.
I'm onto something, everybody.
The world is our oyster mushroom.
Oyster mushroom. No, yeah, we can get some organic
garbanzo
beans and make our own garbanzo bean flour.
I like that.
It'll be loud. It could be loud.
It could get loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could get loud.
I'm cool with that.
That's a great documentary
now,
for
the
you
reason
guitar fans out there.
I really encourage making your own flowers. I've said this before. I repeat a lot of things because I think some things are worth
they're
repeating.
Important.
But when you buy a flower, it's been ground and who knows where it's been and how it's been stored.
I'm raising my hand. I don't know where it's been or how it's been stored.
But as soon as a grain is ground, it starts to degrade. And Karen's favorite word goes rancid.
Rancid.
So I like to grind my grains just when I'm going to use them. It's kind of like how people like to grind their coffee grains just when they're going to have coffee. It's the same concept.
Right. It's wonderful, too. I mean... I've said it before. I don't think I've said it on this show. But your buckwheat pancakes, your buckwheat crepes are made with just buckwheat and water.
That's
Am
right.
Am I correct?
Yes.
And how do you get this message out there if you don't talk about it all the time? It's fantastic.
It's easy. They're the easiest kind of crepes to make.
They're so easy.
They're practically foolproof.
Yeah. And you know what? You don't have to put anything else in them. Just grind the buckwheat.
You need a little oil on your pan.
But inside
you've got
the batter, it's just water and buckwheat.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
I used to add baking powder, but you don't even need it.
You don't need it. I'm here to say you don't need it. You don't need it. And it makes a great skin for tacos. You could do a soft taco with this buckwheat crepe.
Absolutely.
You could do a great burrito skin. I mean, it makes a great...
We've done that. Wraps.
It makes a great wrap. It's and the recipes at Responsible Eating and Living. And on Super Vegan Taco Tuesday, where you're going to go out and vote if you're one of the people who are affected, one of the states that are in this Super Tuesday, you're going to also want to eat because it's, you know, it's what you do.
I was thinking of that almond yogurt that I just made would be great on a vegan taco, like a sour cream.
Sour cream. That's what I said.
Yep.
Sour cream with a little sauerkraut and a little...
Does this show make you hungry? It sure makes me hungry.
Yeah, it makes me hungry too. All right, speaking of people who are in the news, there was a guy who I saw come on the scene years ago named Jamie Oliver.
Oh, yeah.
And I always thought once I turned vegan, gosh, you know, he'd make a great vegan. Well, it turns out that Jamie Oliver... has lost nearly 30 pounds after giving up meat. Go, Jamie.
Go, Jamie.
And he wrote a book last year called Veg. So the guy's working slowly towards, I think, veganism.
I think if you're really doing the work, you realize the power of plants. You can't avoid it.
No.
So maybe you're not going to eschew all animal products, but it's important to eat lots and lots of plants and focus on them.
So the reason we went to, I agree, Karen, and we only have a couple more minutes, but the reason we went to Time and Tonic was because we were going to a free concert here in New York, and I'm sorry if you don't live in New York, because of this free concert. The Juilliard Pre-College Orchestra was
one of the most amazing orchestras I've ever heard. And these kids haven't even been to college.
The average age, I don't know what the average age is, but
17.
They can't be any older than 17, but there were a lot of kids younger than 17.
This was a gorgeous professional sounding orchestra. So moving.
And on this Super Tuesday, or this Super Vegan Taco Tuesday, I just want to say that after seeing that concert and watching those kids play under the direction of Adam Glazer, I knew we were going to be okay.
Yeah, we're going to be okay.
We're going to be okay. Because this was life-changing.
It was. It showed so much of what we as humans can do and can create. So much beauty, so much compassion.
And the concert was, can I just repeat that? Free.
It was free.
It was free. Okay, now I'm sure it wasn't free to the parents of those kids
yeah.
or to the organization.
Ever since their children were born, giving them all those lessons to make them the accomplished musicians they are today at 17.
Right. It was unbelievable. I mean, just really wonderful. And I said, hey, I know we're going to be okay.
Because, we're going to be okay.
Because there's art and there's music and there's
still, and there's delicious vegan tacos.
That's right. So go out there and have some.
That's right. Let's wrap this up, Gary. Thanks for joining
Let's
me
wrap
again.
It up.
Let's wrap it up with our corn tortillas or whatever else you want to use as your wrap and stuff them with delicious plant foods. Hey, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and I'm here with Gary DeMattei. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Happy Super Vegan Taco Tuesday and
have a delicious week.